So today I'm talking about fear. The topic is don't let fear rule your life. And the scripture is 2 Timothy 1:6-7, if I could please have that. It says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So what we tend to do is we tend to focus on the fear and forget about everything else. So how many people here have accepted Christ into their lives? Can you put up your hands? Anyone that hasn't, I suggest you come up the front afterwards and we do that. Because it says that God has given us his power, his love, and a sound mind. Now, if it's his power, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, right? He's living in us, and he's all-powerful. Do you think that he has any fear in him? I don't think so. It says that he laughs from the heavens at our enemies. He laughs at the foes. He laughs at the things that we go through. He is the creator of everything, the universe, all of our thoughts, everything that happens in the world. He is all-power, all-knowing. He's given us love. And that is a love that forgives one another and that loves unconditionally. There's no conditions attached. We struggle in that area a little bit as well. Sound mind or self-control is the other thing that he's given us, which is the mind of Christ. Not our mind, he's replaced it. But we still have a role in that where we have to renew our mind continually. It's not you just come to church and God will fix you. That's not how it works. This is not a workshop like a car yard where you come in and get your car fixed. You've got to do a little bit of work. And even so for a car yard, right, you would have to drive your car there. You have to make an effort. It's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. But I do know, I have experienced fear right throughout my life. So I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to overcome. But as I unpack everything today, I will give you practical things to look at and take away with you that you can overcome any fear that you have in your life. You know, fear is subtle and it has a very undermining approach in our lives. It is a lie that appears real. And as John Fowler said this morning, false evidence appearing real. But it is a lie that appears real. And unfortunately, we take on that lie and totally forget about what God has done in our lives before and what he's doing in our lives at that time. So, you know, I can tell you, we own our thoughts and we own our words. Every word that comes out of our mouth, every thought that sits in our head has power. So we can either speak miracles or we can speak defeat when we're in this situation. You know, the enemy will use fear to stop us from accomplishing everything. But God wants to give us everything. So we come to this crossroad in life and it's almost like, who are we going to trust? Are we going to trust the God who created the heavens and the earth and even us in our mother's womb? Or are we going to trust the enemy who's let us down, taken things from us, destroyed parts of our lives? But we come to this crossroad and for some crazy reason, human nature, we tend to tip over to and listen to the enemy more than we listen to what God says. You know, every one of us has an element of fear and anxiety. Even Jesus experienced it in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, the burden that he carried for us was so overwhelming that his sweat was dripping blood from his body. Out of the immense fear that he had to go through. And he even said to God, if it's I will take this cup away, if not, I will drink it. The cup of suffering. A little bit of everything, a little bit of something we all need to go through in our lives, and that's to shape us and change us. But somewhere along our life, whether it was when we were young or even generational, our trust was shattered at some point and fear kicked in. You know, and Scripture says in Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. They have an assignment against us to take us out in our lifetime. Not God, it's the enemy. God has plans and purposes for us. The enemy has an agenda to take us out. And again, we come to that crossroad. Who are we going to believe? The God who created us in our mother's womb, the creator of heaven and earth, or are we going to believe the enemy? The lie of the enemy. So why don't we go to the first slide. Okay, so God is with us when we are fearful. So even when you've known God for a long time, you've spoken to God face to face, you know, you might be a major prophet like Elijah, and yet still forget how mighty God is. So let's have a look at 1 Kings 19:4-9. So he went from victor to victim. And why was that? He forgot that God was in it. You know, this guy, he was a man of power. He was a man of miracles. He proclaimed a drought and it stopped. The rain stopped. And then he spoke words again and the rain started to drop. This guy operated in top-level power. You know, he helped a widow who had nothing to feed her family. He raised the widow's son from the dead. He was taken away on a chariot by God. Very powerful man of God. So even he faced this. So let's read this. So he'd just called down fire from heaven and wiped out all of the false prophets. And now this is where he's at. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. So he's left town because he's heard that Jezebel wants to take him out. So he's journeyed into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree and he prayed that he might die because he was freaking out because he believed the lie of the enemy and not everything God had done with him before that. So he prayed to God that he might die and he said, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals in a jar of water. Pretty cool, really. Like, God is right there with him, and he's still freaking out. So he ate and drank and lay down, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose, and he ate, and he drank. And he went in strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave. So he's still freaking out, even though the angel of the Lord has appeared to him twice and fed him, you know, from heaven. He hasn't baked that cake and, you know, in an oven in the kitchen and then taken it to him. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is God talking to Elijah, who's still freaking out because he's forgotten. He's at that crossroad and he's believed the lie of the enemy and not believed the Almighty God. So what he's done and what we all do is we protect ourselves when we're in a place of the unknown. When we're in a place of fear and we don't know what to do, and we immediately protect ourselves and everything else goes out the window. We forget that God has been covering us and protecting us all of our lives, and we immediately try to fix it ourselves. And in this case, it's clear that the fear has engulfed Elijah. Totally consumed him. So we have a choice and a decision to make. We can either go into our carnal nature, and like I said before, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. But for some reason, we forget that we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that's all-powerful and all-knowing. So if we go back to the slide, thank you. So God overpowers our thoughts. If I could have that scripture, please, Johan, yeah. So this is Luke 11, 21 to 22. And actually, I'll come back to that. So there are two kinds of fear. There's an ungodly fear, and there is the fear of God. And where there is a pattern of negative thinking in your life, there is a stronghold. And the enemy will mask itself in our thoughts and in our attitudes, and we will think that they're ours. But at some point, we've opened a door for that to become real for us. And if we carry a root in our lives that is connected to fear, we will be triggered by events. It will spark something off in our lives, and it will trigger something, and we will go back into that very first hole, cave, that we went into the very first time. You know, I remember as a child, I had a lot of fear and anxiety. I'm not 100% sure where all of that came from, but, you know, so many things would trigger me. The dark would trigger it. Going to bed would trigger it. Going to sleep would trigger it. I think I was 10 years old and medicated because I wouldn't go to sleep, because I had a fear of going to sleep. Because every time I went to sleep, I would have these full-on demonic nightmares, and something was always trying to kill me. So I didn't want to go to sleep. I would just stay awake as long as I could and then get up and go to school the next day, and I'd change my room around every night just so I'd have something to do to keep me awake. But, you know, and as I grew throughout my life, there would be certain things that would trigger that memory, that trigger, you know, going to sleep and what that looked like to go to sleep. It was scary to go to sleep. As a young child, no one can protect you in your dreams except for God. Your parents aren't there. You're asleep. So let's go back and let's look at this slide. So this is Luke 11, 21 to 22. And it says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. So, you know, on the day of our salvation, so I'll break this down for you. On the day of our salvation, Jesus attacked and overpowered the enemy. So the strong man was the enemy. And our thoughts, because we've created strongholds in our minds, beliefs in our minds, the strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions. We were his possession. We were his possession. But God, Jesus, someone stronger, attacked and overpowered the enemy and took away that armor, which we trusted in, which the man trusted. We trusted in our thoughts and our beliefs. But God, someone stronger, overtook the enemy the day that we gave our hearts to the Lord. We were probably sitting there thinking, oh, shall I give my heart to the Lord? I don't know. Do I believe this stuff? I don't know. Well, while we were sitting there wondering about that, no doubt the Holy Spirit and a bunch of angels were fighting for us in the heavenlies so that that war would get broken down. Our hearts would soften enough that we would give our hearts to the Lord. So the first line of defense of the enemy got wiped out, taken out. And it was Jesus, someone stronger, who overpowered the enemy. Removed that armor, all of our beliefs and our thoughts and our attitudes that we trusted in, that man trusted. So Jesus called it armor, but Paul called it strongholds. So we can't assume that when we're saved, that all of our wrong ideas and all of our wrong attitudes are going to go out the window as well. That's not how it works. They can still influence us. Our perceptions can still be distorted. You know, It could be throughout life you've experienced shame, embarrassment, scary things. You know, you might have been in a place that you weren't safe and no one reassured you. And fear took a hold. And what that did was it created this tormenting fortress of fear that sits in the background, idle, very subtle, not doing much, unless something triggers it. And then it's human nature that we make things up that attach to whatever happened. So we might magnify a story. Pastor Edge is good at that, where he magnifies a story. You know, but we do that in our own minds. We might magnify something that's happened. So let's have a look at Genesis 3, 1 to 2. Three things happen. Thought. A thought enters our mind. The enemy plants the seed of doubt. So let's look at this. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden." Is there more? Is there another bit to that? There should be. God has said, "You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it." So this is Eve saying, God has said, "You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." But God never said not to touch it. Eve made that up. You know what I'm saying? So we make things up. We magnify a situation. God just said, "Don't eat it." But Eve added on, "And don't touch it." And that's what we do. We add stuff on. So we magnify an issue. We catastrophize things. It's human nature. You know, and those issues that were happening in the garden back then are still happening with us today. So there's four things that happen when doubt kicks in, and these are them. Is God who he says he is? We're at that crossroad. Do we believe in the enemy? Do we believe in God? Is God really who he says he is? Can God do what he says he can do? Are we who God says we really are? And can we do what he calls us to do? Those things roll around in our head as we're at that crossroad trying to make a choice. Oh, hang on, should we listen to God in this? Or should we listen to the enemy? You know, it also does not help when we have other Christians in our lives that speak out of their own unhealed wounds and fear and impart that onto us. You know, we need to speak life. Always. We need to speak the word of God over people and to people and not our own thoughts and opinions. You know, we are here to build people up, not to keep them 50-50, but we need to build them up. So not only does people's behavior affect us, but so does our reaction. So our reaction to a situation will affect us as well. As I said, you know, like God is not just going to wave a wand and everything's better. We have to do things as well. You know, you see, the enemy, he will set a cage for us. It'll be very subtle. We won't even notice it. And we will step into it and we will close the door behind ourselves. And we will take that on. Why? Because we've come into agreement with the enemy and not with God. But if we don't work at getting free from this stuff, it will rest with us. Johan, could we have Matthew 12:43? Please. So I'll show you this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. But he's seeking rest all the time. And if we don't get free from this stuff, it will rest with us. Because why? There's a door open. We've left a door open in our lives for this to come in. and it will rest with us and it will grow. You know, when we work at healing from these situations, what does it look like? Kind of sounded a little bit crazy to me when I was researching it, that I have to forgive someone who put that fear in me all those years ago. I'm not actually 100% where it came from, 100% sure where it came from, somewhere in my childhood. It could have even been generational. But like I said before, we need to play a part in this. And somewhere along the line, I have, you know, something's entered into me because I've left a door open at the back of my heart. I've believed a lie somewhere. So I need to forgive someone. I need to repent of actually, one, having fear, and I need to have forgiveness towards a situation, and which I'm praying for God to remind me of whatever that might have been. So how do we not let fear rule our lives? If we could go back to the slide, please, Johan. We are called to take authority. You know, God does not want us to be in bondage. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we are called to take authority. But we might decide, like I said at the crossroad again, to stay in fear and revert to problem solving and avoiding the situation. But God placed us in a position of authority. He placed Adam and Eve in a position of authority. Let's have a look at Genesis 1:28. Please. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." So the subdue it bit means subdue everything that's not of God. We have authority to subdue things. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we have dominion. We have authority. We have the authority to subdue things, and we have dominion over things. But unfortunately, somewhere along the lines, again, we drop back into that place of not being an authority. Like when we started doing the declaration, it did not sound like there was any authority in this room. So let's start again. Come on. Come on. Let's have a look at Luke 10:19. Another scripture that tells us that we have been given authority. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing. Not some things, but nothing. He says nothing will hurt us. So what does that tell us, you know? That tells us to step out and do the things we're called to do, even if it is scary. Even if it's scary. That is where the victory is. When you take a step into what you're called to do, as scary as it is, that even that first step, that is where the victory is. You are walking in the promises of God through your fear when you do that. You know, I mean, I don't know how many people in here know my story, but I went through a lot of fear and anxiety when I was diagnosed with cancer in 2012. And, you know, it was the fear of the unknown. And I didn't know God like I know him now. You know, back then it was a very, very different, but I can tell you, in that situation, when you are facing death face to face, you get to know God very differently than you ever have before. Wouldn't you agree, Karen? You know, it's a totally different scenario. You know, all of your beliefs will be challenged. Your thought life will be challenged. What other people have said to you will be challenged. The people around you, you'll be challenged by them. But, you know, fear is a huge thing and it can engulf you. So before when I was saying, oh, you know, you can jump into problem solving mode, well, that was my nature, so I did that. So I jumped into trying to solve the problem and not relying on God to solve the problem. Because the fear engulfed me. Like, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to fix this? What do I have to do? I didn't want to take any pills, and I didn't. I was taking enough medication, so I didn't want to be medicated, you know, in my mind. I wanted to have a sound mind. I wanted to make choices, you know. But it's tough, and it's uncomfortable when you're in that place. And, you know, while I was in that place, everything else around that situation crumbled as well. And so the fear just grew. And so at some point along the journey, though, God just got a hold of me by the scruff of my neck and said, enough. Just like he did with Elijah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I just stopped. So what I did was I would read out 100 scriptures a day over my life and put my name in it. And some days I was like pumped and I was saying it in victory and I was excited. And other days I had no victory, was not pumped. I was just saying it. Like everyone started out saying the declaration today. Like this. And then other days, I would jump back in and I'd be all guns blazing and I'd say it again. And I would just say it. You know, I didn't see back then, I can see it now, that I was stepping into what God had called me to do. You know, to have authority, subdue things, have dominion. That's basic stuff that comes with us, for us, when we come into, when we accept Christ in our lives. So I did that every day. And, you know, sometimes I believed it, sometimes I didn't. I have to be honest. I didn't know. I was sitting in this place of the unknown. I had no idea if God was going to take me to heaven or if he was going to leave me here. No idea. But we need to take up the mantle of authority that God has given to us. And, you know, we will be tested in these areas of fear all the time. So I'm focusing on myself and my own fears. And then, well, hang on a minute. You've got two kids. And, wow. So now I'm starting to freak out about them. What's going to happen with them? So not only did my fear leave me, now I'm freaking out about something else. And that's what happens. The enemy will start to tap on our shoulder for those vulnerable places in our lives. You know, did God really say that, like he said to Eve in the garden? Did God really say that? And then we make things up, like Eve did. You know, that God said, don't touch it. Well, no, actually, God didn't say that. He said, don't eat it. So we need to be bold. We need to step out. We need to be bold. It's in the action that we get the victory. As tough as it is, it's in the action. You know, you think about Esther, for example. She knew that if she entered the king's court that she could be killed straight away because you had to be invited into the king's court, even though she was his wife. But she was bold and maybe fearful, but the bold was more important, and the calling on her life was more important to save a nation. She put all of her fears aside, risked her life to step into that court. But in the action of stepping, just like God did with Moses, the seas parted and she was given favor for her boldness. You see, if God calls you to something and you're commissioned to something, then the doors will open for you. If you're not commissioned to it and the doors aren't opening, then there's a problem. You know, the Bible says the battle is mine, says the Lord. The battle's not ours. We're just the instrument, the vessel in it. The battle is the Lord's. If we could go back to the slide, please. Thank you. So the last point is, no matter what we are going through, God has not left us. You know, the enemy will hold us captive with no hope of escape. But Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set us free, to set us free of the thoughts and the attitudes of our minds, to set us free from the place that we have trapped ourselves in. We've come into agreement with the enemy at some point, and that's why we're there. And that's why if we looked back at that scripture in Matthew about the enemy trying to find rest, when our house, our thought life is swept clean and everything's in order, we need to fill it with Jesus. Because if we don't, the thoughts that we entertain that are not of God and we haven't caught them and shut them down, the enemy will find rest and sit there in our lives. Actually, could we go to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5? So this is what Paul has written about strongholds in our lives, about the thoughts that we have and the attitudes that we have. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That's mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what does that look like? You know, I had this was a key scripture that God gave me when I was going through my cancer journey. Over and over again, this would come into my head. And so what I learned to do was every thought that was outside of God that was negative, I would just tell it to shut up. It says to take it captive. So capture that thought and chuck it to the ground. You've got the authority to do that. You have the authority, the dominion, and the ability to subdue it, because God gave it to you when he did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. God has given you the authority to do that. And we need to live out of our position and not out of our condition. So we do not walk in the flesh or war according to it. You know, we have thoughts that go through our mind all the time and we don't tell people, right? But you have the authority at that time to grab that thought and shut it down. Chuck it to the ground, trample on it. It said that we had the authority to trample on serpents. So we have the authority to take those thoughts captive and throw them to the ground. They're not of God. And if you come into agreement with them, like I said, the enemy's opened the cage and you've stepped in. And the minute you agree with it, you shut the door at the back and hello, it found rest with you. And you don't want that. And then you blame everyone else for it. But at the end of the day, we play a part in this. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And in the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, it says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you know, I liken that love to, you know, as a child, when you're fearful, you run to your parent and they give you that sense of safety. You feel safe and all fear goes away because mum and dad are there, right? And it's the same thing, you know, God is saying to us. When we love unconditionally, love others unconditionally, at his level, not ours, then fear can't live there because we know who our maker is. We know who he is. I'll just call on the worship team as I wind up today. I'll just ask everyone to bow their heads first while the worship team's coming up, and I'll just ask if there's anyone that's here today that has not given